This Netcast is brought to you by the 8 Days of Geek Network.
All of your ears are belong to us.
On this episode of Error Code 8, help Apple and get shut down. Facebook buys Instagram, and Microsoft is stockpiling nukes for the next patent war. Stay tuned. Listening to Error Code 8. I'm your host, Jesse Miller, and joining me, as always, is the Techno-Gaelic, Sam Briggs.
Hello, welcome back again.
With just a hint of delay.
That one was slightly intentional because I forgot to turn my mic on.
Oh. See, Sam really, like, when we're prepping for the show, Sam's not actually listening to me. He just wings it when he gets on here. I'm talking and nothing happens, you know.
And then I'm there.
That's about how it works. All right. This week, pretty slow week in the tech world. We do have a couple stories to bring to you. This one I found interesting because it's good news from AT&T instead of always being bad, although we know how much I love bad AT&T news. AT&T will start unlocking off-contract iPhones from now on. So that means that if you've had an iPhone for 2 years and you're out of your contract, AT&T will actually unlock your phone for you. So that's kind of nice, right?
Yeah. It also includes people who go out and buy an iPhone outright. So say you accidentally throw your iPhone out the window, falls off a bridge into a river, you go to a store and just buy one outright because you're not available for upgrade. Guess what? You can take that one to an AT&T store and get it unlocked.
It's good stuff. And, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where this has actually been around before. I mean, people have been using iPhones on T-Mobile's network for a while.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not unheard of for an iPhone to be unlocked. This one is just going through official channels to get it done. So it's going to be more permanent. It's going to survive updates and things like that. So if you're out of contract, have an account in good standing, or if you bought the phone outright, they should go ahead and unlock that at any of the brick-and-mortar stores for you. All right, next one on our list. This one kind of caught me off guard. Macs are known for being so virus-free. There's no viruses, none. No Trojans, no malware, no nothing. Excuse me. I get excited and I actually choke on my own spit every once in a while. Anyway. So, they're not supposed to have anything on them. Well, wrong answer. There is a piece of malware out there, at least. I'm sure there's more, and we just haven't heard about it. But there's at least one piece of malware called, Flash Fake, I think is the actual name of the malware itself. It created an all-Mac botnet, which, as we know, is a group of computers used for distributed computing that are primarily consisting of computers infected with a piece of malware, turning them into quote-unquote zombies.
Yep. For those of you wondering, there's no official fix from Apple taking care of it, there has been, Kaspersky Labs has a way to check to see if you are infected.
Yes, they do.
It's actually really interesting. Something in regards to the history of Apple and Apple computers generally being virus-free, that won't hold true anymore as the internet becomes more and more and more integrated into our desktops, whether it's a Windows PC or an Apple or even the Linux distributions. HTML, Java, JavaScript, all of these languages are third-party languages and rarely ever as secure as something that Apple would have coded themselves. Exactly. So because of this third-party software, your Apple computers, they're going to get less and less safe as time goes by.
Oh, no.
Time to buy still probably nothing like Windows,
oh, yeah.
But...
time to buy an iPad.
All and right. Even so, that's getting more and more integrated.
That's
gotta
true.
Watch. iPad zombies.
Oh, no. All right. So if you want to go check, if you have a Mac and you want to go check, if you haven't, the website is www.flashbackcheck.com. You can also just do a search for, you know, am I infected with flashback or any other thing. If you look in our show notes, I've posted a link for you if you'd like to go there and check it out. It's a very easy process. I've already done it on mine. It literally takes 2-3 minutes. You have to enter your hardware ID and then Kaspersky. That's it.
Kaspersky, yeah.
I literally had like a dozen Polish names going through my head. Wow. All right. Anyway, they will check your hardware ID and all kinds of other little junk. 3 minutes later, a little window will pop up saying whether you have it or not. They have what they say is a removal tool. I didn't have to use that because I didn't have the actual Trojan on mine. But that, I would assume that's going to work too. So go there, check it out. If you have a Mac, it's, you know, 3 minutes of your day that'll give you a peace of mind. Now, when this happened, one of the companies, the first company that actually found the botnet, is a company called Dr. Web. It's a security firm. They found the botnet, and they had set up a computer to gather as much data from the botnet as possible to see what the nature of the attacks was. Now, what happened is that Apple caught wind of this and actually tried to shut down their servers, thinking they were the ones running the botnet. So, you know, thanks for finding our botnet. Shut you down. Now, Apple is saying that they did not know at first that they were just monitoring the botnet itself. But, you know, it's one of those things where, is that true, or was AOL trying, or was Apple trying to keep their, you know, keep things under wraps and keep people from knowing about this? Because this is detrimental to Apple's facade of no viruses, no malware, no nothing.
Duh. I would figure that it was probably a little bit of both. Keep it under wraps and take no risks.
That's a good point.
Yeah, it's always been Apple's motto, so.
All right. So, the next one here has Sam's name on it.
Indeed it does.
How about he tell us about it?
Oh, I'm going to. I'm on it today.
You tell us about it so hard. That was uncomfortable.
All right. That was uncomfortable. do you have a button for that?
No, I don't. I should, though.
Oh.
I should just have one that's like incredibly uncomfortable.
Okay. Windows Phone users. I'm sure there's, you know, all 7 of you out there.
I'd say all 8 of them.
Six WebOS users. Yeah. For those of you who jumped on the bandwagon, got the Lumia 900 by Nokia, and you've been less than happy with its service in regards to connecting to AT&T, well, I have good news and I've got bad news for you, and it's mostly good news. I'll start with the bad news. The bad news is no, it's not your phone's hardware. No, it's not your AT&T towers in the area. It's a software problem. And for those of you on AT&T, know that that is incredibly bad news because of how AT&T rolls out their software updates. The good news is that Nokia has definitely taken charge. They already have a software fix available. It should be being sent out to your phones at some point now. For those of you who haven't got the update and desperately need your phone to work, you can take it to an AT&T store and exchange it. The new ones should have, as long as they don't give you old stock, the new one should have the update already in it. And you can, or Nokia will be sending you a $100 rebate as an apology, more or less, for the the inability for your phone to work for the last week and a half or so, which, in my opinion, is a great stance for a corporation to take on one of their screw-ups. Everyone remembers the iPhone issues with the iPhone 4 and the antenna and how customers were treated for that. I mean, what, in the long run, they got a hard case.
Nice.
Nokia users, you're getting a $100 rebate and the option of getting a swapped-out phone in the meantime if something else is truly, you know, if you desperately need it. Big difference between how Nokia and Apple treat their customers there.
Very much so.
But, of course, Nokia desperately needs those customers, unlike Apple, who could probably afford to lose, you know, a million, and they're still going to be okay. Not really sure if Nokia even has a million customers anymore.
Yeah, it's pretty good of them to go ahead and give that rebate. And, you know, especially for something that can be fixed, you know, but they're still giving the rebate. And it's Nokia, not AT&T, because we all know that AT&T would never part with a red cent.
Oh, yeah.
So, that's good stuff.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised they even are getting that update out there. That's not AT&T-like at all.
No,
I'm
not
sure
at
they
all.
Would. Yeah, I'm gonna say it's keeping people from using their service, but they still have to pay for it. I'm pretty sure this is AT&T's dream screw up.
Yeah. Damn AT&T. Anyway, all right. Now, Sam, you have WebOS, so you're not included in this party. But Android just got Instagram. Now, I was really excited about the fact that Android had just gotten Instagram, except for when I heard the news, literally days later, that Facebook agreed to buy Instagram for $1 billion. Now, let me tell you why this disturbed me. I like Instagram. I like taking pictures with it. I like posting pictures with it. It's fun. It shares to all my social media sites. However, I don't upload all of my Instagram photos to Facebook because Facebook I do not trust with my photos. They have a tendency of using them for whatever they want, and as a photographer, I'm not okay with that. So not all of my Instagram photos end up on Facebook. Some of the good ones don't. Now that Instagram is owned by Facebook, they will probably have the same basic user agreement as Facebook does, whereas we can use any of your photos at any time for anything we please. That I won't use Instagram if that's the case. I can't, you know. There are some of my photos I just do not want to have, you know, I don't want to just give away copyright on all my photos. So, you know, what do you think? If you were in my position, what would be your stance on?
It's actually going to depend on if Facebook or, well, Zuckerberg keeps his stance that Instagram itself will be kept as a separate company, which is what they're saying as of right now, but the teams are merging so that the software engineers will be working on Facebook's side of things to enhance the photo experience on Facebook, whereas Instagram is supposed to stay its own independent little thing. If that holds true, then I wouldn't have an issue with it because that just means that Facebook hopefully will be improving over the course of the next year. If it becomes a total entire merge and Instagram simply becomes an app more or less for Facebook, then I fully understand your viewpoint, and it's something that I would be looking at the Instagram competitors, which there will be. And I know there are a few, just nowhere near as good as what Instagram are. Is English fail there? but yeah, I would be worried only if it merges together.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's, I don't know, slippery slope. I don't like change, Sam.
Well, you have to look at it like this. With a, I'm sure the patents that Instagram held that allowed them to do that with photos and the sharing and the fact that all these companies are falling under suits of various kinds. If Facebook didn't buy them, Microsoft, RIM, well, RIM can't afford to buy anything right now, but they'd probably look at it. Google, Apple, even probably independent OEMs, whether it was Samsung or HTC, who both have photo hub style in-house apps, would look at buying them. I mean, when you have a growing service that is super popular, you don't stay free for long. What, you know, Twitter, Instagram, I know there were two other big ones that went that way. Oh, man, I really Skype. Anytime there's a service that is effectively just a standalone service, it's going to get bought up. Regardless of how awesome it is, it's not going to be its own company for long.
Gotcha.
And that sucks.
Well,
because you don't trust Facebook. I don't necessarily trust Google. I really don't trust Microsoft. So, yeah, there's no way to win.
No, it's not. The big companies that nobody, as soon as you become a big company, nobody trusts you. And then since nobody trusts you, you start buying up stuff and nobody trusts the little companies that you buy. Congratulations to Instagram's founders for their unbelievable wealth right now, but I still would really like to have an Instagram not owned by Facebook. But who knows? You know, like I said, I don't like change.
And I actually hope, though, is that this means that Instagram will start coming out with a little bit more money behind the wallet. They'll start coming out for Windows Phone, and if BlackBerry makes it to BlackBerry 10, out for that. I'd like to see – the thing is with a service like that that is so universal, it needs to come out for even the smaller markets. Because it's pocket change that they're losing out on, but pocket change adds up over a long time, especially if Windows Phone or BlackBerry 10 takes off. It's better to already have an established app that has gone through bug fixes than to release something and be hit or miss for a few months. So hopefully Facebook pushes them to do that.
True. All right, speaking of Microsoft, I think there's a story that you're supposed to cover because it has your name on it.
Yay.
Yay. Another one. You got two with your name on it this time.
Yes. Okay. Oh, just a second ago, I was speaking about the whole patents and the patent wars and issues. Well, Microsoft is stockpiling some nukes, it seems, for the old courtroom. They just bought for $1 billion, 800 patents from AOL to shore up their defenses, more or less, against the other big companies. It's not looking good. The whole patent issue is becoming truly ridiculous with companies selling patents left and right just to stay in business. And of course, the only companies that can buy them are effectively the same five companies: Apple, Microsoft, Google, Facebook, Yahoo. They're the ones that are just sitting there buying up this stuff and launching lawsuits left and right. So, great for AOL? Sure, because while they're not completely obsolete, the fact is they were probably sitting on 800 patents that they had no way to take advantage of, since you actually do need to be using the patent to sue somebody for it most of the time. Otherwise, your case in court will always fall down to a settlement deal instead of a big chunk of change that every company's looking for. That's why Apple has generally only sued for patents that are in violation right now, because that's the easiest way to get a chunk of change, back fees. This is what you owe us from you using it for so long.
Yeah, the patent system in general pretty much sucks.
It's actually, I've said that. It's only There's three things that we cover week to week, it seems. AT&T sucking. Now we've hit Instagram. That's been three episodes in a row now. And, actually, I guess if you just want to say Facebook, we talk about Facebook almost every single time. And patent wars.
Oh, yeah.
Those are always in the news.
We were actually talking before the show about how much cell phone news there is as compared to actual computer news anymore.
Yeah. For all of you listeners who really care about computers and don't care so much about cell phones, I apologize. I really look for computer news, and right now there is nothing. I'm going to start tracking some of the open source releases and mentioning those more, not just the big ones like Ubuntu. But, you know, and we hit Windows 8 every now and then. But in regards to computers, it's all about the hardware. It's all hardware battles. And that's only interesting when you're talking about an incremental processor upgrade. Not interesting news. I mean, there's just not been anything in regards to, wow, this is a game-changing event. The computer industry is definitely in a lull.
Little bit. Just a little bit. All right. Well, speaking of lulls, that's all we have for you today. Goodbye. Wouldn't that just be the greatest exit ever? Just goodbye, click. Not even any exit music, just a click.
Just gone.
Yeah.
No phone number, no goodbye,
nothing.
Well, just one goodbye.
Yeah. Nothing. Anyway, Sam, tell the people where they can find, follow, and or stalk you.
Okay, you can find me on Twitter, at the Manatee Man. You can find me or you can email me at Gmail, manateeman@gmail.com, sambriggs@8daysofgeek.com, and you can find me on Facebook, Sam Briggs, again, the guy in the kilt. There's still no other places because I'm not a social networker. And because what I'm finding is that all of these new social networking stuff that's coming out, none of them have apps for WebOS.
No,
and because of that, I will not support your service.
Wah, wah.
Yes, I'm asking you to make an app for a 3-year-old dead platform. Otherwise, you have lost a user.
Hey, you think it might be time to upgrade a phone?
I've been thinking about it. It's just every time I look, like I look at Android and I see the various hassles that go along with that, and I have to, you know, come to the acceptance that I'm going to buy a device that after a year will not be updated. And
you just buy one that you can root and then put your own ROM on it.
Well, the thing is, like, I'm going to spend this money for an Android phone. My Palm Pre was the exact same way. It's like, I can't buy phones. I bought a Windows Mobile phone, and literally 3 months later, Microsoft announces it's dead. Like, are you serious? I want a phone that is going to get updates for my 2-year contract, and the only phone out there that does that is an iPhone.
Yep. Well, get an iPhone. There you go. Problem solved.
Oh, but it's an iPhone.
You know, I have actually contemplated buying an iPhone.
I have too, actually.
Because they are really good pieces of hardware. The first thing I'd do to it would be jailbreaking. You know, it'd be out of the box and jailbroken within minutes. But I have thought about it. And I'm due for an upgrade, so I don't know. That might be something to look into.
See, I would have to, even if I went out there and got one right now, if I recall correctly, they don't have an untethered jailbreak for the newest iPhone.
Yeah, they do.
Just yet. Oh, they do?
Yep.
Okay. Do we cover that?
To my knowledge.
Oh, well, I don't remember that. I was thinking it was still tethered only. Well, anyway, that would be, as long as there's an untethered one, because getting to a computer with internet and various other things in my life seems to be far more difficult than what it should be for a tech geek. But I don't know. I love the consistency of the iPhone. I wish every OS out there had that consistency. The next best one really is Windows Phone, just because of the pseudo stranglehold that Microsoft has on it that's very similar to Apple. You know, their devices get the updates. You know, it's not as fast as what Apple does because it still has to go through AT&T and Sprint and Verizon. But it's with Windows Phone, it's kind of the same thing. I'm upgrading to a phone with not that much better hardware than a webOS phone and the same app issue, a little bit better support. Android, I don't like it. I just cannot. I used it for a while, had an Evo. Man, just not what I want.
Let's see here. Yeah. There's an untethered jailbreak.
Okay.
With absinthe.
That makes me feel, that makes me feel a little bit better. That's in regards to if whenever I finally drop this pre and Sprint tells me they have no more and I have to change phones.
Yeah, I'll probably be doing that sooner rather than later.
Holding out.
I have the Nexus S, and I have a I have nightlies of Cyanogen Mod 7 on, or Cyanogen Mod 8, 9. Dang, on there. So it's I just had it. That was a mental brain fart, by the way. I think my brain just exploded inside my head. I had to wipe that clean on my walls. Wow. Anyway, Android 4.04, CyanogenMod 9. It's got its bugs, but it's a good daily driver.
So. Actually, I've got my biggest issue with the other OSs that WebOS generally, the reason I stick to WebOS and why I would love for BlackBerry 10 to be a success or at least keep RIM in business, I like having a workspace. And that's something that the other OSs don't actually have. You have the app and that's it. That's actually all you can do in regards to that phone singularity right now. Things are running in the background, but even right now, it's something that I wish I could do on WebOS, and once WebOS goes fully open source, I will find a way to do it. On my Windows 7 computer here, I have the two tiles. I have it pinned, Skype on one side, my articles on the other, and I love it. That way I can track my call information on the right with a glance, and I can read the articles on the left to make sure I'm not getting my info wrong. It's perfect. WebOS could do that. With a little bit of software tweaking to the GUI because of the cards, multi-touch gestures, bam, two cards up on the screen, split-screen style. There's no real way to ever do that on a Windows phone or Android or iOS, and it would take a major GUI overhaul, you know, because every time it's been tried, it's been on gimmicky hardware like the that two-screened Kyocera phone. Man, I can't believe I don't remember its name.
Isn't it the Echo or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I want, is the ability to have a whole bunch of information on this giant screen I have. And Android and iOS are quite a bit of ways away from ever adopting that. I like having Windows where I can have multiple windows open.
Well, the world is moving slightly closer to being a full-screen app thing. I mean, if you look at the way Mac OS has started with their full-screen apps in, like, for instance, Google Chrome.
Exactly.
I hit a button and it takes up my entire screen.
And that bothers me. Until we get to a website that has everything you need on one page... I don't even know how that would be possible.
Well, you shouldn't want to multitask, Sam. Nobody else multitasks.
You know what? It's weird is I'm not even really multitasking in this situation in regards to Skype. I'm just glancing over to make sure my internet connection is there.
Likely excuse. All right. Anyway, now we derailed completely.
Oh, yeah. That was a good 6-minute derail. Sorry. It's early and I'm ranting.
Yeah, well, you know. Cranky old men get cranky in the morning, right? All right. Exactly. So for me, if you want to find me, if you're done talking, you know, hearing Sam, you can find me. My email is jesse@8daysofgeek.com. My Twitter name is @PenOfDoom. That's PENOFDOOM. You can find me on about.me/Jesse Miller. That's got all of my stuff on it. Tumblr, Twitter, Google Plus, you name it. It's on there. Go there. Check it out. If you want to leave a voicemail or send us a text message to tell us what you think, or if you have a comment or a story that you want us to cover, the number is 754-273-6397. And if you're still reeling about Facebook buying Instagram, because I know I am, or if you're on a Lumia 900 and can't connect to the network, that number is 754-273-6397. All right, Sam, I guess we're done here. So say goodbye to the nice people.
Goodbye to the nice people.
Aha, he's learning. Dance, monkey boy, dance! All right.
You can't see it, but I am dancing right now.
All right, guys, join us next week for more tech news, and I might have a little bit of news coming back from C2E2 about the gear and gadgets that I take with me. So stay tuned. I guess I should have told them to tune in next week instead of stay tuned, because if I tell them to stay tuned, they might just be sitting here listening until next week, waiting for me to say something.
Maybe they will stay.
Maybe.